Well, I have a question for you. Who do you think you are? That question always sounds snarky, doesn't it? It's like no matter how you say that question, it's just going to sound like, what? What are you talking about? Who do you think you are? What if that is one of the most important questions you will ever answer in your lifetime? Who do you think you are? Growing up, I thought I was smart. Thank you for not laughing. I've since discovered otherwise. People have been happy to inform me otherwise. I thought I was creative. I thought I was the best dressed kid in class. Note the turquoise shirt. Brenda's choice. Turquoise is my color, apparently. I thought I was devoted to Jesus. I was lucky to have a loving family. I also thought I was non-athletic and socially awkward and didn't fit in really well with the rest of the guys in my class. I thought I was supposed to be good. I mean, really good. My parents loved that one. Moreover, I thought God wanted me to just be a good boy, Brian. If you can't be good, look good. Look real good trying to be good. I thought there's no excuse for breaking the rules or not measuring up, and that if I broke the rules or didn't measure up, then I deserved whatever I had coming to me. There was no mercy. It was mine to own. Do you think any of those thoughts had an impact on my life? I've been uncovering that impact and recovering from that impact for more than 50 years now. Who do you think you are, Brian? And I would ask you that question again today as well, friend. Who do you think you are? Because I think that the way you answer that question is one of the most important things you'll ever do in your life. And that is what makes this good news I get to proclaim today so compelling, so beautiful. Jesus' death and resurrection include everyone. And because of that, we can choose to see anyone with eyes of hope and not judgment, starting with the person in the mirror. Although we still often live out lies about who we really are, that false self is dead, and our true self is now free to live in newness of life. Now, there's a lot there. You're going to hear it three or four more times before I get done, and we're going to unpack it a little bit together. But if that is true, if that good news is true, that is simply the best news you've ever heard in your entire life. And it's the good news of Easter. More than 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul, one of the founders of the early forms of Christianity, he was so desperate for people to get their heads wrapped around this. He wrote about it quite a bit. We're going to read a couple of them today. And one of the places he wrote about it, he starts with this question: what are we going to say? Should we continue sinning so that grace will multiply? Which sounds like a ridiculous thing. I mean, if you're going to continue sinning, you probably aren't going to like just announce it to everybody, right? But he's putting it right out there, and here's why. There were Christians in the early church who were following this logic. Hey, if God loves to forgive stuff so much, maybe we should just keep giving him more stuff to forgive. I mean, that's only logical, right? Paul kind of responds to that thinking with this question: who do you think you are? Here's how he says it. Absolutely not. All of us who died to sin, how can we still live in it? Don't you know that all who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried together with him through baptism into his death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, listen to this, we too can walk in newness of life. He's reminding them of this beautiful picture we're going to have of new life in just a few minutes. We're having it in all of our gatherings today. We call baptism. Christians have been doing this for more than 2,000 years together. When we say that you are baptized, we are saying you are baptized into Christ Jesus. We're joining him in his death and resurrection. When we lower you under the water in your baptism, we say you are identifying with Jesus in his death. When we raise you, you are identifying with Jesus in his resurrection. Don't you know who you are? Somebody described baptism as both a death certificate and a birth certificate. One of our young guys today is getting baptized. It's also his birthday. How awesome is that? Yes. I'm like, how do you get baptism, Easter, and birthday all in the same day? That's some scheduling right there. But I thought about this whenever they told me that. I thought, here he has an original birth certificate for this day. He's going to get a new birth certificate today as well. How beautiful is that image? Friends, listen to me. This is the ultimate game changer. If this is true, if this is real, this changes the way I see everybody, everything. It changes the way I see myself in the mirror. Here's the challenge we're left with. How do I line my thinking up with this reality? If this is what God says is really real, how do I remember that day after day after day so I can live as the person God says that I really am? Who do I think I am? Paul knows it's a challenge. He doubles down on it, in fact. He says, if we were united together in a death like his, we will also be united together in a resurrection like his. This is what we know. The person that we used to be was crucified with him in order to get rid of the corpse that had been controlled by sin. That way we wouldn't be slaves to sin anymore, because a person who has died has been freed from sin's power. But if we died with Christ, he says, we have faith that we will also live with him. We know that Christ has been raised from the dead. Amen? And he will never die again. Death no longer has power over him. He died to sin once and for all with his death. He lives for God with his life. In the same way, you also should consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive for God in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm a former English teacher, and I noticed that in that passage, he uses various tenses. Some of that's past tense, some of that's present tense, some of it, he says, is future tense. You will be united together. You will live with him. We call that around here the already but not yet nature of God's kingdom. It's already, yet there's more to come. It's going to get even better, friends. It's kind of like the difference between D-Day and V-Day in World War II. On D-Day, the Allied forces broke the back of the Nazi war machine, and it was all but certain that the Allies would win this war. Everybody knew it. It took 15 months, however, to get to V-Day, when Germany actually surrendered and the war was officially over. Friends, Easter is D-Day. D-Day has happened. The back of hell and sin and the grave has been broken forever. The victory is already ours in Christ Jesus. Amen? But V-Day is still coming. Someday, the job will be perfectly complete in all creation. And right now, we live in a liminal time between the two. And friends, that is really what makes this such good news today. Jesus' death and resurrection include everyone. And because of that, we can choose to see anyone with eyes of hope and not judgment, starting with the person in the mirror. Although we still often live out lies about who we really are, that false self is dead, and our true self is now free to live in newness of life. So what do we do in this liminal time? While we wait for V-Day to come, what do people who are convinced about D-Day, what do we need to remember? Let me give you two or three thoughts, okay? First of all, Paul's pretty emphatic about this idea. One died for all, so all have died. It's mysterious. Let's look again at what he has to say. He writes to another group of early Christians in the ancient city of Corinth. He says, the love of Christ controls us. I want to stop there for a second. And I just want you to look at those six words. The love of Christ controls us. Can we just say those out loud together? The love of Christ controls us. That right there, that's probably the whole thing we need for the sermon today. Okay? The love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this. One died for the sake of all, therefore all died. He died for the sake of all so that those who are alive should live not for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised. Mysterious, for sure. But over and over, the Bible teaches us this idea, friend, that in some sense, when Christ died on the cross, everyone was included in what happened on that cross. And when Jesus came out of that tomb, everyone was included in Jesus coming out of that tomb. This is the good news of Easter. Don't forget. Because one died for all. All have died. The old has gone and the new has come. And this gives us something else to remember. We can judge people not by what we see, but we judge them by what Jesus did. Man, we wrestle with this, don't we? Isn't that a tough thing to remember some days? That every person I lock eyes with, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done, no matter where they've been, is a much-loved child of God, treasured in Him, included in what Jesus did on that cross. Amen? The people who annoy you the most, the people who drive you nuts, the neighbors that you wish did not live next door, they're all included too. And I just imagine what God thinks when He looks at them, the hope that He still has for them, that they'll come to know this good news the way we do. We, friends, are free to see them as well through eyes of hope and not judgment. Here's what Paul says. So then, from this point on, we won't recognize people by human standards. That's going to be one of the biggest challenges of your life. Even though we used to know Christ by human standards, that's not how we know Him now. In other words, at one time, we might have just said He's a good man or a wise rabbi, but Easter changed all of that. We now know that Jesus is no one less than the risen Son of God and Savior of the world. Amen? So often we make the assumption that I can know everything there is important to know about you just by whatever I see. Whatever little part of your story that I've encountered and been part of, whatever somebody else told me, I pretty much have you figured out. Friends, that's not real. That is not reality. In reality, what I know is true about you more than anything else I know about you is you are a much-loved child of God with unimaginable worth. That is more true than maybe even you know. It's true even if you've never decided to live in that or believe it. Those of us who've experienced the joy of Easter know I can see every other person with eyes of hope and not judgment, and that includes your biggest challenge, the man or woman, boy or girl in that mirror. Boy, we all struggle with that person the most, don't we? Which is why I think this last thing is a really important thing Paul gives us to remember while we wait for V-Day. Hang with me on this one. Our best opportunity in this one and only life is to finally become ourselves. To finally become the person God created you to be, He put you here to be, the real person God knows you to be, the person past all those sins, all those mistakes, all those wounds, all those failures. As Dallas Willard has so famously said, the main thing God gets out of your life is not the achievements you accomplish, it's the person you become. Or as Paul puts it, so then if anyone is in Christ, that person is part of the new creation. The old things have gone away, and look, new things have arrived. Look, new things have arrived. Look, new things have arrived. The old is gone and the new has come. That is the good news of Easter. We spend far too much of our lives believing lies about ourselves, don't we? Lies that were designed by our enemy to keep us focused on that old self who's dead. And this morning we come together to remember Resurrection Day says you are free from the lies. You're free to finally become yourself. Not who the lies tell you you are. Listen to me, friends. Who do you think you are? I'm so happy to announce to you today, you, yes you, every single person in this room, God thought the world needed someone just like you. You are a much-loved child of God. You were included in what Christ did on that cross. You were included in the victory that He won as He came out of that tomb on that first Easter morning. I know it's not easy to remember some days. This is why we have to be reminded on days like today who we really are. And that will be your biggest challenge, is to say, can I line my my life up with the good news God says is true about me. Because Jesus' death and resurrection include everyone. You can choose to see anyone with eyes of hope and not judgment, starting with the person in the mirror. Yes, we all tend to live out lies some days about who we really are, but friends, the good news of Easter is that false self is dead, and your true self is free to live right now in newness of life. D-Day happened. Amen? You are free, forgiven, brand new, if you choose to live in that. I've been trying to remember that for more than 50 years now. And there are days that my vision is still cloudy. And I wake up and I think the whole job is for Brian to be a good boy. There are days I just try to look like I'm a good boy. There are days that I still live like there's some cosmic rule that I'm supposed to follow, and there are some punishments I'm supposed to avoid. And there are days I still feel like the little kid that was bullied on the school bus in the playground. And I still feel like that man who's carrying that wound from way back when. And I thank God that on those days when I will listen, I hear the still small voice of God's Spirit whisper this question in my ear. Brian, who do you think you are? And I remember. I was in elementary school, as some of our kids are who are being baptized today, third or fourth grade, when I was baptized. And I remember that when I came up out of that water, it was real to me then, it is real to me now, about 50 years later. The old Brian is gone, and the new Brian has come to walk in newness of life. And I remember, Brian, you are who God says you are. Amen? You are a much-loved child of God. You are forgiven and free. Go live like it. Become yourself who God says you really are. Friends, that is such good news. I figure I'll spend a lifetime getting used to it. I'm probably always going to have days that I forget, but I remember a lot more than I used to, and that is changing everything in my life. I hope it is for you. We have some people in this room right now for whom it is, and they're getting ready to declare with their baptism today that the old is gone and the new has come. And so what I want to ask Jeremiah, Amy, those of you who are organizing these folks, and all of you who are being baptized or somebody who may be assisting, why don't you go ahead and get up right now and head to the back and get ready, because we're going to celebrate with you in just a couple of minutes. You want to give it up for them as they go? Let's cheer them on. Yes. What a great moment. And while they do that, let me just ask you a few questions, starting with this one again. Who do you think you are on this Easter morning? When you look in the mirror, who do you see? Do you see the little kid that was raised by a distant dad? Or the little girl who was abused by mom? Do you see the child that was humiliated on the playground or the bus? Or betrayed by a friend? Do you see the person who stepped into situation after situation that wounded you and left scars behind that you're still struggling with to this day? Or when you look in that mirror, do you see a much-loved child of God? It makes a difference how you answer that question, my friend. Do you realize you were included in what Christ did on that cross and what happened in that tomb on Easter morning? Yes, V-Day is coming. It's as certain as anything you could possibly count on. But D-Day has already happened. Amen? And you are free, and you are forgiven, and you can begin living as your new self right now if you want to. That is the choice before us today. Who does God say I am? Now, we know that it's hard to remember. Easy to forget. So we're going to give you something. I'll take a couple of minutes to do this because there are a bunch of you, but our VIP team is going to come around and pass something down the aisles or whatever. Everybody grab one of these. There's just a little key tag. It doesn't take up much space, but we'd like for everybody to have one, young and old. There are plenty. And we're giving you this so that on the days you forget, Maybe just this little cue will help you remember. It simply says on there, God says, I am. There's a little chain. Don't lose it. You can attach it to the rearview mirror of your truck or the file drawer handle in your office or your purse or backpack. Or yes, you can even put your keys on it if you like. But put it somewhere you'll see it frequently. Because you're going to forget. You're going to forget who you are. And if the most magical thing is this QR code, if you scan that QR code, it will take you to a resource we've assembled for you of several dozen scripture verses that will tell you who you, God says you are. God says you are his child. He says you are loved. He says you are forgiven. He says you are free. He says that you will never be abandoned, that he will be with you forever. So many beautiful things God says that are true about you. You can just read the statements. You can read the verses of scripture that we've given you the address for on there as well. But when you forget who God says you are, you have to go back and remember. And hopefully this little tool might help you remember on some of those days when it would make all the difference in the world how you answer that question. They're going to keep passing the buckets down the rows. But could you look up here for a second and just maybe try to give me your full attention if you can? I want you to reflect on this for a couple of minutes in a very personal way. Is there anybody in this room that could use a little newness somewhere in your life this Easter? Amen? Boy, I could. Anything you're struggling with that you've just assumed will probably never change? Jesus is inviting you today to look that person in the mirror in the eye after a while and see that person as fully loved, forgiven, and free. New. You can't change your past. And the good news is you don't have to. I can only imagine what the stories would be like in this room if we all started sharing our past. I'm not going to share all of mine. Amen? You don't have to change it. It's forgiven. That's the old stuff. In fact, God can redeem even those things and do something beautiful in your life through those wounds and those pains and those sins even. He brings new life out of all that. It just doesn't have to define your future, my friend. Who do you think you are? Is your marriage on the rocks? Got a friendship on the ropes? Somebody in your life, you love them dearly, but you've about given up hope? Listen, the message for you this morning is look at them with eyes of hope, not judgment. Ask yourself, I wonder how God sees that person. God, help me to see them the way you see them. What if the two of you could see each other with that kind of hope? Do you think it would change anything? Might God bring your marriage back together, your friendship back to life? He might. He can, if you want it. And maybe we should just pause and ask God for whatever the newness is that we need right now. Would you bow your heads just for a minute, just so we can focus a couple of seconds? If there's some place you would love to see newness, ask him for that right now. Say, God, I can't see it. Help me see it. If there's somebody you need to see with eyes of hope, say, God, I have a hard time seeing them with eyes of hope. I have a hard time believing they'll ever be different. But I know if you could do that for me, you could do it for them. Help me to see them, God, the way you see them. Father, I don't know what the needs are in this room on a beautiful Easter morning. But Lord, as beautiful as this day is, as joyous as this celebration is, I know, Father, that real life brings hurts and wounds and problems and tragedies, places where we're tempted to give up and to let go. God, I pray that today, somewhere in this room, in somebody's heart, something would come back to life, that somebody would choose to believe that they are really, really who you say they are. Father, that somebody would push back the lies that they're hearing everywhere else, including from their past, and somebody would see themselves through your eyes with eyes of hope. God, I pray that you'll restore some relationship, some friendship, some marriage. God, that a couple of people could begin to see hope again and trust you, Father, to help them heal it, redeem it, free it. And God, we pause again to say thank you. Thank you for this hope we have in Jesus. Thank you for this good news we celebrate today. Thank you that we can walk out of here Lord, and finally become ourselves, the people you always dreamed we'd be. I pray, Father, that someone would reach out for that today, and we pray it again in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Can you imagine the possibilities if you finally became yourself, the person God has always seen? Can you imagine that? This is really good news, my friend, because Jesus' death and resurrection include everyone. You can choose to see anyone with eyes of hope and not judgment, starting with the person in the mirror. You're probably going to have days you still live out some of those lies about yourself. The good news today is that false self is dead, and your true self is free to live in newness of life. Who do you think you are?